Hallelujah. It's good to be here again. Enjoy it every time. I really appreciate the invitation, Pastor Mark. And I don't usually go a long way in intro, you know, saying the niceties about everything, but because it takes up my time. But anyway, it's good to be here. And you guys are good people to minister to. And so we're going to do it again tonight. And I'll just let you get ahead of me here and get to 1 Peter. That's kind of the primary place that we're going. Now, has anybody noticed that we live in troubled times? Yeah, we do. And there's no use getting in church and saying the times are not troubled, but they are troubled. However, there are refuges along the way that God gives us a refuge, that we're not supposed to be just overtaken by the day, but we do recognize and know that it is here. You know, it wasn't too many years back when you didn't have to go through a metal detector to go to school or athletic things. And, you know, that's changed to a large extent. I don't know if all schools you have to or not, but at least where my daughter used to teach, you had to. And so we would be unwise to say it's not a different, that it is not a different day. It is a different day. That we are sliding closer to the end of time. And so, what does God have for us? So, I believe when you come on Wednesday night, really when you come anytime, but at least on Wednesday night, you ought to hear good news. Amen. You know the bad news, so I'm not going to tell you that. Besides, the gospel is good news. Yes, it is. So, it's Brother David, give us an anchor tonight. I'm glad that we have the ultimate anchor that my home is in heaven, and I'm looking for the glorious appearing of the Lord Jesus. However, I'd like a little more comfort for tomorrow, you know, in case he doesn't come tonight, that what has God got for us tomorrow and this weekend? And I think a lot of church people, and I'm not saying this church, just a lot of church people, are a little bit asleep as to the times. And we're supposed to be wise to the times and running all out for God. So let's look here at 1 Peter chapter, well, we'll start in chapter 1, verse 25. But the word of the Lord abides forever, and this is the word which was preached to you. Therefore, putting aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Who is the subject here? Us. You. Us. In other words, God is not going to wash all the slander, all the hypocrisy off of me. He's saying, you get rid of it yourself. Put it aside. Envy, all guile, all that kind of stuff. Like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. Has anybody tasted the kindness of the Lord? Amen. Yeah, glory to God. Certainly, He is kind. He is kind even to the unthankful and unkind. He's that way. It's just Himself. But we have tasted the kindness of the Lord. I know I have. Many occasions I have just tasted it, and He's with us all the time. But there are times when you get to just taste His goodness, taste His glory. Anyway, and coming to him, verse 4, coming to him as unto a living stone, rejected by men, but choice and precious in the sight of God, you also as living stones are being built up as a spiritual house. Okay, I want to emphasize two things. In verse 2, we are supposed to grow in respect to salvation. So glory to God. Got saved a long time ago. But I'm not supposed to be just like I was a long time ago. Supposed to grow in this thing. And then in verse 4, coming to him, it's verse 5. We're being built up as a spiritual house. So I want to leave that thought very strongly within you that I cannot sit on the sidelines, do my thing, just please me, and be perfectly satisfying to God. He loves us. He'll never quit loving us. But he does have some expectation upon us that we live for him, that we put aside these things that are holding us back and live for God, grow in God. Everything else we expect to grow in, so why not God? Okay, and coming to him, verse 4, as unto a living stone. Now, I worked on that for a good little while, not for this message, but just what in the heck is a living stone? This is supposed to be an encouraging thing for me to seek after, to run after, as unto a living stone. I didn't even know what a living stone was. But it complicates it a little more. Verse 5, you also as living stones. I think I need to know what a living stone is if I'm supposed to come to him as a living stone, and I am a living stone. Okay, now let's sort of get a picture here that he's talking about building a house, building a spiritual house in which Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. And basically he's saying that we are bricks in the house. But a house that is filled with God is a living house. It's not a dead house. And for it to be that, all the stones, the bricks in the house, need to be radiating the life of God to lift him up. And so basically that's what we are to be, as living stones who just emit the life and the glory of God. Now, I know we can look at our lives and say, well, maybe they are across the aisle there, but I got a little ways to go. That's okay. There's room to grow. But we have to grow. He said you're to seek out that living word, that seek it as milk, seek it as meat, seek the word. It's by that that we are changed. And I don't have to be what I've always been. Glory to God. Isn't that good that I can change? I can change to be more pleasing unto him, a living stone. So let's look a little bit more at that living stone. In chapter 1, 1 Peter, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Okay, now we've got a living stone, a living hope. So a living stone must be one that is filled with a living hope. Hope, in general, somebody said something, maybe it was a song had something to do with hope, and I thought I had to show Janet, look here, it's in the message. But hope is a glorious thing that Basically, it is anticipation. It is a pleasurable expectation, and it energizes. When you don't have hope, you got no energy. You got no life. When you're expecting tomorrow to be downhill or worse than today, that's kind of a hopeless thing. I like to have an expectation that it's going to be better tomorrow. And it wasn't all that bad today. But ever expecting increase. Increase of good things. Why not bad things? Because God is a good God. And He likes to feed me with the very finest of the wheat. Hallelujah. That's the way our God is. It's His character. So, hope. This kind of hope, while it's real, you can have a natural hope. It will rise and fall with the circumstances surrounding it. You know, you can be all pumped because you got a big raise at work. And then the next day they say you're fired. So your hope didn't last long. It went out the door. That it's dependent upon circumstances. However, a living hope is independent of circumstances. I get fired tomorrow, I'll get a better job the next day. That's a living hope, because I believe that my God is not just leaving it all up to circumstances, that I know that my path is going to get brighter and brighter. Amen. Now, if you don't know me, well, a lot of you don't, a lot do. That's been my pet verse for years and years and years, that the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that gets brighter and brighter. Somewhere back in the past, God gave that to me, and I thought, that is good. I would like to think that my path really did get brighter and brighter, and so I latched on to it and said it and said it and said it and started believing it. And so no matter what comes, I just believe that I'm going to be better off tomorrow. Amen. That it's coming my way, because I can't help myself, that my path just gets brighter and brighter. And I found out the more I said it, the brighter it got each time. Amen. It's important what you say. But see, this living hope overrides everything. It's not dependent upon circumstances. I can be excited in anything. Now, am I? No, I have to work at these things too. But I can be, because I expect somewhere that God's going to turn light or darkness into light for me. Now, why me? Because I'm the one believing it. You can have it if you want it. Okay, so if I've got a living hope, it's got to be based on something, if it's based upon this living word. Well, there, I'm getting ahead of myself. I haven't introduced the living word. That's back in Hebrews 4:12, that the word of God is living, sharp, very active. So it's the same word, living, as what was with the hope. Living word is the basis for a living hope. If I got no word to support my hope, then it's just dependent on stuff. Circumstances, very undependable. But if I've got a word from God, which like mine is, that I believe it's always going to get better for me. That's a word. Hallelujah. Well, what about when it doesn't look like it's getting better? I just go back to my word. Look at my word some more. That it's got to get better. It can't not. It will get better. Brighter. So, a living hope has to be based upon something solid, which is the living word. And then in Hebrews 3:12, The living word was 4:12. In Hebrews 3:12, take care, brethren, lest there should be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart in falling away from the living God. Still, it's that same living, same word for all of them. So here's what we're summing up is that if I'm going to have a living hope, you know, somebody's sick in the family, I'm believing for their healing, whatever kind of situation comes up, I am expecting the best, but I got to have a basis for that. I've got to have a word, a living word, to undergird my living hope. And from 3:12, we talk about the living God, so here's what it is. A living word, based on a living hope, based upon a living word, spoken by a living God. That's how certain it is. Everything's living. So therefore, we ought to face any and every situation with an expectation that, hallelujah, I'm hitting a home run tonight. And you can't do it if you can't find a word to support it. A word spoken by the living God. Just being nice won't work. Just a positive outlook is good, but it won't work. It won't hold up. But the living word spoken by the living God will hold up in anything and everything. And so that I can always come forth and say, glory to God, I've got the victory. Because I had a living word which was spoken or is being spoken by a living God. So, a living hope overrides everything. Our future is bright. I don't care what, well, I care, but, you know, what you see in the world, it's kind of saddening to see the way it's going and so many dangerous things going on, but glory to God that our future is bright. You know, this is really no surprise. He said, now darkness is coming on the earth and gross darkness on the peoples. Oh, how depressing. But you can't stop reading there. You got to go on where it says, but my light shall arise upon you. Amen. Whoa. That puts a whole new light on everything. So our future is bright. He will never leave us. We will always triumph in Christ. You know, you got to stay in line with His Word. In Christ, we always triumph. Okay, I got to go to 2 Timothy. Don't lose 1 Peter. We'll come back. But 2 Timothy chapter 3, just a real quick run through of this first part. Realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come, perilous times. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient, ungrateful, unholy, treacherous, violent, reckless, every bad thing you can think of, and you can say, wow, we've arrived. This is our world. Dear Lord, can we find a hole big enough to crawl into and hide? But we have to go on and see, what does He say for the child of God to do? He says, it's going to be bad. And so no big surprise, but God, how can we stand in a day when everybody is unthankful, unholy, selfish, everything bad? Well, He sums it all up in verse 14. He says, you, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them. In other words, the Word of God will work in the worst of times. Believing it, speaking it, declaring it over yourself, over your family, and over anybody else that'll let you. He just says, Timothy, it's gonna get this way, but before you get all down in the dumps, here's your solution. Continue in the things that you've learned, that you've been assured of. It will work in the hard times. It'll work in the bad places. It'll work when everybody's screaming, what are we gonna do? We continue in the Word. It will keep us. He goes on to say, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, training. But our thing tonight is continue in the Word that you have learned and been assured of. Now you gotta make sure that you're assured of the Word, that it will work. Amen. It will work if I work it. Amen. It won't work if I don't have it in my heart and speak it forth with my mouth. But it will work. So we have this living hope that we have a victory over death, but also we are to have a victory over life. Right here in this last life, Romans 5:17 says that we are to reign in life. Amen. All who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life. Are you reigning in life? Glory to God. Is there any area of your life you're not reigning in? Then you're out of the will of God. He's not upset with you. He just wants you to get in the will of God. Have that living hope. Now we're going places, and even the people here in 1 Peter, he said, now you're going through a trial, and you'll go through trials. Nobody's saying that it's never going to happen like that. But when the enemy is saying your situation won't change, it won't work. It's not working. Look, it's not working. It's time to get your eyes back over where things are working. In the Word of God, they do work, and it will work in real life. So the people in 1 Peter were going through a real trial, but he's still telling them, now look, you continue on in the things you've learned and been assured of. Stick with it. Don't jump ship out here when it looks bad. So in dry places, the children of Israel went through some dry places in the wilderness. Got out there and God proved them. Proved their faith. Are you going to make it or not? Well, 10 decided no, 2 decided yes. They made it. But not only were they being proved by God, they were proving God out there in the wilderness. Have you proved God that He will show up on your behalf when you stick with His Word? Have you had Him step in and say, you stuck to the Word will work for you? It is working. Don't throw away your sword and your shield in the midst of the battle. It's very tempting to just throw it aside and, well, we gotta go another route. This isn't working. Stick with it. It will work. His Word always works. We got nothing else. That's our sword, and our shield is our faith, and it will work in every time. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise you, Father. Hallelujah. Now, we're to grow. I've already talked about we're supposed to grow. First Timothy said we're to grow. Growing involves many transitions in life, moving from one step to another step. And nobody ever said that moving steps is easy and pleasant. In fact, usually it's not. It involves transitions. Look at Psalm 78. If you don't want to look at Psalm 78, it won't be there that long. Stay with 1 Timothy. Never depart from 1 Timothy. Verse 70, now he also chose David his servant and took him from the sheepfolds. From the care of the ewes with suckling lambs, he brought him to shepherd Jacob his people and Israel his inheritance. So he shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them with his skillful hands. Okay, look at this. David was taken out of the sheepfolds and put over here in the place of leading Israel. But we all know that this is giving the beginning and the end, and it's leaving out a whole lot of stuff in between. There were some processes that got David to the place of leading Israel. You will not get to God's final place for yourself without going through some processes. And sometimes that process treading is not fun. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes it's unpleasant. Sometimes, you know, you get the picture. I have found some of the things that I've gone through in processes took a while. And usually as I look back at it, that the process was really getting some stuff out of me that I didn't know was in me and wasn't ready to receive the next step that God had for me until I got cleaned of some of that stuff. You know, the anger at the people that put you in there and all that stuff, that you can't carry that into the next level. Got to get rid of it. Hell, I'll never forgive them for that. Oh, you'll stay on your level forever or digress. Growth involves transitions, so we cannot neglect the process. No part of the process is unimportant. Every place that you go through with God, He's putting stuff into your life that you're going to need on the next level. And of course, the next level is going to be higher than what you were because our path gets brighter and brighter. So, no part of the process is unimportant, but where you are today does not limit God what He can do for you tomorrow. Hallelujah. Okay, I'm a little more excited than some of you are. That's all right. We're not through. I understand. Thank you. But there's no limit on where God can take somebody that will flow with Him. Now, it may not be something that's going to look great in the eyes of man, but He's not the one we're trying to please. We are seeking for a well done, good and faithful servant. So, hallelujah. David, want to look at some of his steps that he went through. Of course, our first introduction to him was he was a shepherd. And he was so important as a shepherd that his daddy forgot about him when he was supposed to bring all of his sons in. In other words, he wasn't very important. He was low. That finally, his dad, oh yeah, I think I got another son out there. I mean, he was low. But God wasn't going to leave him there, that he anointed him king. Don't you know that when he went back to the sheepfolds that day, his head was spinning? What in the world was all that about? The prophet coming and anointing me, and now I'm right back where I was. But God was working something. It wasn't very long before David was brought to the courts of the king to be a court attendant and a musician, and that was a step up, the next phase of David's life. He found out that it's not always safe over there, that you have to dodge spears sometimes. But that's okay, I'm not a shepherd anymore. And so he's on the next step of his life, a transition in life. Then he became a man of war, that he was catapulted into the man of war position simply because he got upset about this guy defying the armies of Israel. And nobody would do anything about it, but he would, and he was jumped up several steps up to a man of war. Now notice, to get to that man of war position, he had to borrow a sling from step one. Whatever you use or taught in different steps of your life will probably be used as you move up the ladder. So God does not put any trash in us that's going to be just discarded along the way. He's got plans for us, but he's going to use it. I just thought of this today, that my first teaching ever was, I think it was my first, I taught, and this was just a one Sunday deal, was taught intermediate kids. Now, that's junior high, and if it had been more than one Sunday, I'd have probably quit. I was so frustrated after that seemingly 6 hours. I think it was probably 45 minutes. But I maybe shouldn't say this, but Carmen and Carla were both in there. They weren't the bad ones, but I mean, I was so glad to get out of there, and I didn't like it, but God started something there. The teaching went up, and here I am, hallelujah. There were some other steps in between. But God will always use whatever he puts into your life that he wants it for higher purposes. Okay? Now, what was this deal about him being a musician in the courts of the king? He was sowing some experience, some court experience in David. The boy was a shepherd boy. He didn't know nothing. How was he ever going to be king if somewhere somebody didn't teach him some manners, some court manners? Clean your fingernails, boy. You're not in the sheepfolds anymore. So he had to learn some things, and everything you go through, learn all you can in it, because God's not through with you yet. As long as you're hungry, he'll keep lifting your level, and every step will be a challenge, but it's rewarding. Hallelujah. Y'all have the fastest clock here of any place I know of. It's fast. Anyway, we got David here. Now, he's a man of war. He went through the part of being a husband, a fugitive, and we know that eventually God got him where he needed him, and then the final step of David was fulfilled. He was the leader of Israel. Glory to God. Well, God's got steps for you, and I guess there's a final step somewhere, but we don't know where that is. I think it's when you step out of this body that I see no place to just sit back and rest and say it's over and done, that God's got a plan for you. He says, I know the plans I have for you. Plans of prosperity, not of calamity. Plans to prosper you and to give you a future. And he says that to us. I don't care how old a person is, if they'll look in their Bible, that's in there. And there's no place to say, well, that doesn't apply to me anymore. Only if you don't want it to apply to you anymore. Transitions can be dangerous times because there's plenty of opportunity to fear. It's very easy to try to hang on to the old place and reach up to the new level. You can't do that. You got to let go of some stuff to be able to reach up higher. But it's rewarding to do that. That we can enjoy transitions when we say yes to God. Hallelujah. We've been through lots of transitions, but one of the greatest was when we left Grace Church. We used to be on staff here, and we left without having a place to go, and it was a huge transition. It was big because we didn't see the answer, but be patient. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He's got plans for you that you hadn't even begun to think of. And they're always better. It's always higher. I mean, he took us to a ministry that was right for us. 12 years of teaching a Bible college, and I mean, where I was teaching, where I was maybe once a week or so, when we got to the Bible college, it was you had to have 4 to 5 sermons a week. It was hard. But you know what? We grew in it. Got funner and funner. And saw fruit. It was a blessing. Hallelujah. Well, what's happened? Well, we're in another transition. Well, when do you get to quit being in transition? When you die. We still believe that our path gets brighter and brighter. And I really enjoy getting to come here and just preach, teach, whatever you call it. I don't care. I'm going to do the same thing no matter what name you put on it. But God's got good plans for His people. And they're not plans just so you can have a good old time here and go. It's to be useful to the kingdom, to be needed, to be fill a spot, that we are part of His body. Hallelujah. Now, Joseph teaches us that not everything that appears bad is bad. You know, his pathway to God's destiny for him was a rocky road. And we'd say, well, God, have you got another road we can travel? I don't much, you know, not that. Joseph did it. I don't have to. But whatever, it'll be good. The end result will be good. If I decide not to transition, it's too rough. There's no growth. No change. Everything will stay just like it is. Who wants that? Please don't raise your hand. Jesus made a deposit for every mess up I make. even stuff that I caused myself. He's got a deposit of grace for my mistakes. If I'll just take it, I can have it. Okay, so I married the wrong one, did this, did all kind of things you can think of, messed up. God's got a deposit of grace for it. Amen. That we can come out on top. Yeah. I didn't marry the wrong one. Just a side note. Faith, your faith, is designed to take you over the top. And every hurdle has a seed of promotion in it. Okay, let's end up here in 1 Peter again, chapter 2. Okay, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. Say this, I'm growing. I'm gonna grow. I'm gonna keep a growing. I'm getting in the Word. I'm letting the Word get in me. I'm coming to church where I can hear the Word. I'll read it at home. I need the Word. Okay, stop. Gotta get off this train here somewhere. It's that important that we put the Word in our hearts. That important. Now, you won't become a giant overnight. It's step by step, level by level. But God's got a design for you. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, you are so good, so awesome, so wonderful. And it's just a pleasure to join with these believers here tonight and say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, I bless your holy name. I thank you, Father, for this Wednesday night when hopefully my eyes could be opened to something that I hadn't seen before. For it's good for all of us, Father, to keep in mind that I've got to desire the Word of God like milk, like a baby does milk, that it will cause me to grow. It will cause me to get back on track. It'll put a fire within my bones again if it's gotten away. And Lord, I just thank you for just the Word of God coming forth, and let it fall where it may, but I know it never goes out without accomplishing what it was sent for. The blessing of the Lord rest upon you. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Amen.